Next Step 421, June 30th, 2016. Okay, Vartavar, Transfiguration, the Pope in Armenia, and even a private confession. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, and I'll be connecting the dots between all of those, as well as our spiritual and emotional journey in this life. This is The Next Step, and I'm inviting you to take it with us.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Vazgen provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The next steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
If a church wants a better pastor, it only needs to pray for the one it has. Well, how do you do? I like that one. Yeah, I just found that and had to share it with you. It is a gorgeous day over here in Southern California. We are broadcasting from Apostle East, the Pasadena, yeah. It tells you where my head is. I'm in the Macedonian era or something. I just read something that the Armenians were had some common link with the Europeans, and they had put a picture of some Neanderthal man. And I'm thinking, we can probably make claims to the missing link. Anyway, I am in the Pasadena studio. It is a scorching hot day, but at least I'm cool. I've got a fan blowing on me, and I hope you're cool wherever you're at, both physically as well as emotionally. And if you're not, we'll hope we'll get you to that equilibrium point. We've got a lot to talk about today. I want to start off with this incredible, incredible feast that we have coming up. It's called Transfiguration. Yeah, Vartavar. Oh, we're going to share. You're going to love this one, okay? It is like wild. Yes, don't worry about it. I will definitely talk about the Pope. The Pope was in Armenia. Can you believe that? Met with the head of the Armenian Church. And did you see that? Speaking about Neanderthal, speaking about early times, what did we call Pasadonian? They gave him Noah's Ark. No. I'm not excited about it. And I'll share that with you in a few minutes too. Anyway, you know what? And trust me, we're not going to go the route of genocide. Lovely man. He speaks about good things. He talks about genocide. We're not going to go there. But there's a reason why I want to start off with Transfiguration. I hope it'll all make sense. And yes, you did hear right. There is a personal confession coming up today too. And a great song of the day. But let's kick it off by talking about this feast called Transfiguration. You know, in the Armenian Orthodox faith, there are five major feast days, and they are all revelatory. In other words, they speak to the revelation of God in our lives. And it begins with the Theophany in the beginning of the year, which is a fancy name for the revelation of God. And that we see not only in the birth of Christ, but also in his baptism, January 6th, it's a fixed date. And of course, the second major feast day is the ultimate feast day. It's the resurrection, Easter. And of course, if we didn't have the resurrection, everything else didn't matter, right? He'd just be an ordinary person, yeah. Good man, good teacher, kind man, considerate. But it is the resurrection that sets him apart, right? Everybody in the world has been born, but the only one who's conquered that death is Jesus Christ. So the Feast of Resurrection, Easter, of course, one of the major feast days of the Armenian Church. Then there are two others which are coming up. One is the Assumption of the Holy Virgin Mary. I like to call it Astvazadzin. It's more descriptive. The Bearer of God. And the Assumption, I don't like referring to it in any other way except the Assumption of Astvazadzin. It is totally descriptive, the Bearer of God. And that's coming up in August. And then there's, of course, the Elevation of the Holy Cross. Each of these points to the revelation of God in our lives, but this feast, Transfiguration, actually is a story of God revealing himself right then and there, and doing it, well, rather strategically at that moment. And that's what I want to share with you, because it sometimes gets overlooked. Transfiguration for the Armenian Orthodox is a major feast day, and it should be in the life of every Christian. It is a story that has a supernatural side to it, and so sometimes people put it on hold, or they shelve it. But it is so incredible in metaphor, in detail, and that's what I want to share with you today. The Transfiguration. Yes, commonly called Vartabad. It's the day of spraying people with water. I did an AC 101 piece on it just a couple days ago. We had some fun in the studio. We actually drenched the camera with water. You'll see that. It'll be on our YouTube channel. And of course, it's native to the Western Diocese Facebook page, so you can catch it somewhere. Get the idea of what the fun about the event is all about. So, but let's get that Vartabad element out of it. Yes, it is a pagan feast. It goes back to the pagan goddess Ostrig. They had some problems in Armenia. People didn't want to forget about some of their traditions. St. Gregory took over a bunch of the feasts, the pagan feasts, and then he brought over these Christian feasts in their place. And Transfiguration is the one that takes the place of Vartabad. But those common traditions, like spraying each other with water, continue. And it becomes an opportunity for us. Well, when you sprinkle with water, what do you think about in Christian terms? You think about, of course, baptism. So it's an opportunity, really, to think about your own baptism, to think about the renewal, to think about the born-again experience. And why not? You have an opportunity. And so you have some fun along with it too. You spray some people. But it gives you an opportunity to really think about, well, my experience. What did it mean that I was born again? What did it mean that I was baptized? Does it have some meaning in my life today? But the story of Transfiguration is one of revelation. And I want to share it with you. You'll find it in the Gospels, but I'm going to select the Gospel of Matthew for our reading right now. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 17. And right at the top of the chapter, it says, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Now remember, Moses and Elijah are not contemporaries. They're separated in history from Jesus by several hundred years. So all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah are there with Jesus and these three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell on the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. Now, indeed, there is so much we can gather from this story. One of the points that I really personally like is that Jesus selects Peter, James, and John. Now, he had a big following, right? There was definitely the group of 70, 72 disciples that were always around him. There was definitely the immediate 12, but what does Jesus do? He picks out three people. You know, it's interesting, right? He doesn't need to get everybody involved. He pulls these three. Isn't it the same three that, remember when he brought that young girl to life? He pulls out these three. In other words, there's an inner circle, and it's okay. I mean, it doesn't mean that you don't care about everybody else, but it's okay to have this inner circle with whom you feel more comfortable. And perhaps people that get it. But did they get it? Everybody points to the fact that Peter... very nice guy. Peter, he's in that group. Jesus is transformed. He's radiating light. In other words, this is the moment of revelation. There is an opportunity to see the divine nature in Christ. And what does Peter do? Hey, do you want me to build some tents? It's a good thing that we're along. We'll build some tents. Well, a very practical question. Nothing wrong with that. Very practical question. But meanwhile, this event is happening. And isn't that the case with us? I know some of you are jumping ahead. You know why I put the Pope second in line today, right? This incredible event is happening. Jesus is transfigured. And what do the people say? Hey, do you want me to build a tent for you? Okay, even that takes place. And then the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And strategically, what is important about the people that are there? As I said, they're not contemporaries of Jesus. One is Moses, one is Elijah. Well, Moses is the symbol of the law. Elijah is the symbol of the prophets. He's to come to restore. He's to come before the Son of Man. And all of a sudden, we're seeing Moses and Elijah standing on this mountain, and in between them is Jesus Christ radiating the divine light. And what I venture to say is that that divine light, that brilliance that we see in Christ is the light of from the beginning. As I've shared with you many times, it's interesting because according to the Genesis myth of the six-day creation period, what happens? Let there be light before there is sun and moon and stars, right? There is a light that precedes the physical light, the light of God. And Jesus is shining. In Armenian, the word for transfiguration is ayla gerbutyun, means to transfigure. But also, gerb is the form, to transfigure that form, to the figure. But also, we have a beautiful word called baydzara gerbutyun. Baydzar means brilliance or bright. It's the transfiguration in a bright way. So the transfiguration is taking place. These three people, headed by Peter, are saying, "Let's build you something." The voice of God is calling down and saying, "This is my Son." And all of a sudden, we notice that these two people, Moses and Elijah, standing with Jesus, focus in on Christ. Now, why is that important? Well, think about it. Jesus is what? God incarnate. Jesus is what? He is shining his divine nature. What do the laws point to? To God. Why do we have the laws? Why did Moses give us the laws? It is to point to God. Why were there the prophets? Why did Elijah come? Why did any of the prophets come? To point to God. And guess what? Right now in their midst is standing God personified, radiating in this supernatural event. And so all of a sudden, between the law and the prophets stands the completion of the law and the prophets. You may have heard that somewhere, right? If you are an Armenian Church Divine Liturgy attender, every Sunday, the priest descends from the altar, finishing the Divine Liturgy. His first words after the distribution of Jesus Christ in our midst, his first words are what? Gadarumun orinatsun yev markareits. You are the completion of the prophets and the law. Yes, Jesus Christ is the completion of the prophets and law. Listen to him. Strategically placed between these two individuals is God incarnate, radiating, transfigured, transformed. Now, like so many people, and rightly so, we can, you know, want to make a tent for them. Or we can understand that there is an opportunity for us to be taken away in that moment too. That there is an opportunity for us to touch the essence of God. to touch that light that was before the sun and the stars, that is not dependent on the physical, but that spiritual light that comes from the beginning of all time, that is there at the beginning of the creation of the universe, of the multiverses. It's there. And right there at that moment in history, it is shining. It is brilliant. We are offered an opportunity to see the brilliance of God as he's revealed. How do you react to that? Yeah, there's some people who are going to throw water at one another and say, hey, it's Vartavar. Or some people who are going to pour water on one another and they're going to say, I was baptized. It's a new beginning. Yes, I am human with all my frailties, but in my baptism, I find a born-again experience. I find an opportunity to start brand new and to have this brilliance in my life, to have Christ's light shining in my light. And if you can connect to that, you've connected to the transfiguration. Now, one of the servants of God, namely Pope Francis, came to Armenia. And for the big part, most people looked on and said, hey, this is wonderful. Here's a guy who's going to talk about the genocide. Do you see what I get upset about so many times? Do you understand why I can't deal with it? I really had a really hard time last week, and I'm going to share those experiences with you coming up in a few minutes. Right now, we're going to listen to a song called Vartavar. Yes. Vartavar, the feast, right? This song is by Dikran Amasyan of Luisi Luso fame. You're going to love this one. I particularly care for it because if you've been a child my age, you remember there used to be these little pianos that Schroeder from Peanuts used to play. We used to play it in the house too. Anyway, Vartavar, Dikran Amasyan. Thank you. Vikran Hamasyan. Now, the song is appropriately Vartavad. Yes, I'll have a link on today's show notes so you could check that song out as well as all of his great music. Do you remember those pianos? Those little baby pianos? Made famous on the Charlie Brown shows by Schroeder, his friend, who somehow was able to play all the notes, despite that the fact that the keyboard would have a painted on black keys. Remember those? Yes. It's now just the Casio button, but it works. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the song. Like I said, do check out the show notes and visit his site and listen to all of his great music and be supportive. Okay, an event of historic proportion. Pope Francis, the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church, the head of the Roman Catholic Church, visits Armenia and meets with, well, to me, I thought that was the highlight of it, meets with his brother in Christ, His Holiness Karekin II. And why is this so significant when I say brother in Christ? Because their predecessors, Peter and Thaddeus, were part of the original group. Pope Francis sits on the throne of St. Peter. And there is apostolic succession from the time of St. Peter, just as His Holiness Karekin II sits on the throne of St. Thaddeus. And if you take it, you can go back as far as the time of Jesus Christ, you can trace it that there is apostolic succession. There's continuity. So, these two brothers in Christ meet, and they, in a sense, give us an opportunity to think about the two brothers who were there, Thaddeus and Peter, at the time of Christ, who sat with him, who ate with him, who were at the crucifixion and experienced the resurrection, who were directed in the Great Commission to go out to all the world, and one goes to Rome, one goes to Armenia. Significant. That's the Apostolic Church. Well, His Holiness arrived in Armenia, and there was a lot of hoopla. And of course, his claim to fame among Armenians is not that he might be a brother of Karekin II, although, like I said, to me, this is very extremely significant and important, but his claim to fame is that he got up in front of the world, and he said that what happened in 1915 is the genocide. Is the genocide organized by the Turkish government, by the Ottoman Empire. He labeled it as genocide. And everybody gets on that bandwagon. They love him. And he has reached superstar status, not only among Armenians, but throughout the world. But I would venture to say that his presence in Armenia was probably the biggest presence we have had in Armenia. I don't think there's anyone larger than the Pope who has visited Armenia. I mean, when you think about presidents and everything, well, you arguably Vladimir Putin and former Russian presidents may have gone there. I think Gorbachev was there after the earthquake, if I remember right. But still, that superstar status, nothing like the Pope. So it brings a lot of attention to Armenia. And the Pope, if you had a chance to listen to his different speeches, and I would really, really encourage you to listen to them. And probably even more is to read them, because you know what, on today's show notes, you'll find a link to all of the videos, some of which have the English overdub on them. But if you don't have a chance to hear the English, they are all available. All of his speeches are available on the Vatican Holy See site, and we will have a link on our page as well to that site. Do check it out. It takes a few minutes to read them, and they are all about peace. They are all about salvation and about the salvific process through Jesus Christ. And he talks about the need for justice. He talks about the genocide in terms of a truth, that we need to be able to recognize our history and not create a new history, but rather accept the history that we have. Very, very insightful comments and very important. And it's refreshing to hear this coming from a Holy Father. And he remembered that his predecessor, a couple predecessors ago, I would say, right? Because I believe, yes, right after John Paul II was Benedict, the Pope Emeritus now, which I believe was his birthday yesterday or today or something like that. But he was talking about Pope John Paul II, who we referred correctly in terms of his church, Saint John Paul II, of blessed memory, and his visit to the Holy See of Eczmiadzin on the 1700th anniversary. And so there was just so much beauty in this visit of Pope Francis, where he reflected on the past. He came together with people and celebrated the newness of the day. But, yes, you knew I was going to get to a but right there, right? What does this mean to us? Well, basically, it's a wake-up call. I liken it to an alarm clock that rings. You know, you're in sleep. You're still there. You're not dead. You're still there. But you're unconscious for a while, right? Then the alarm clock rings and you wake up. And slowly your senses adapt to the environment. First your eyes, and then your hearing. And then slowly you look around, you get the smells and the tastes. Until you gather yourself and you step out and you are in full consciousness, looking around and figuring out that, hey, it's a new day. And I think this is what Pope Francis's visit to Armenia did to the Armenian Christian. Basically, it's a wake-up call, because there isn't anything new that he brought, seriously. Now, I know, you saw many different pictures. You saw he even celebrated a Mass. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, okay? He also was present at a Mass. Together they sat, His Holiness Karakin and Pope Francis. Together they sat, the President of Armenia and Pope Francis. After all, Pope Francis not only represents the Church, but he also represents the Vatican. It's a separate state, an entity, right? He's a head of state. And so there's many dynamics at play, right? But what happens? At the end of it all, people remember that this good man came, this superstar came, and they celebrate, they touched him, and that was great. But doesn't it remind you of the Transfiguration story? And why I read the Transfiguration first, as a prelude to my comments on the Pope? Because we somehow missed the essence that the Christ was there in our midst. And by this, I don't mean by Pope Francis or by His Holiness Karakin, but the pointer. They were pointing to Christ. And did we miss that? Well, I think Armenia and the beautiful gesture that they made, they missed it. Certainly they missed it. Pope Francis, in all of his talks and all of his speeches, he pointed to Jesus Christ. In fact, listen to His Holiness Karakin II. Read his speeches as well. Listen to his speeches. He points to Jesus Christ as the reason for our salvation. And if you were to just listen to what they were saying or read the comments during this pontifical visit of these two holy patriarchs coming together, you would understand that Jesus Christ is the reason for our salvation, is the reason for our life. Did we miss that point? Much like Peter, did he miss the point of what was happening in front of him? And he built he says, do you want me to build the tents? I think we missed it. Definitely Armenia missed it, right? What did they present to the Pope at the end? A Michael Aram Noah's Ark on top of Mount Ararat. Now that's beautiful, beautiful. You know, yeah, it's a sculpture, it's a huge thing. But did you hear the words by which they presented it? They talked about the ark being the salvation. Noah's Ark is the symbol of our salvation, they said. What? I know, some of you have been listening, know where why that irritates me so much. But it's not. Okay, we're talking about a physical journey, and of course the mythology is important, and of course there, you got to believe that, you know, that is the Armenian symbol, Mount Ararat. It is a holy space. It is a holy mountain. But I kind of resent it at the end of the day that, you know, there it is. Here's the Ark. And we're showing you the Ark, something that comes out of Jewish mythology. Whereas, did you see the big, huge icon of Christ that was placed at that event? I believe this was the Saturday event. It was a rally for peace. That huge icon of Christ in the center, in that Armenian motif. It was so beautiful. And it would have been great if we could point to that. But that's okay. We're being a little bit critical right now, aren't we? As I started off this show, I said that if you want the best pastor, pray for that pastor. Pray for your own pastor. If you want the best parish priest, pray for your parish priest. If you want the best Catholicos, pray for the Catholicos. If you want the best understanding, pray for the people who need to understand. And so we pray. But it behooves us to at least talk about these things. So at least we're on the same page, because amidst the hoopla, we sometimes lose sight of what's important. Peter did at the Transfiguration. He missed the point of what was going on, of that opportunity to understand and to see the divine nature of Christ. Pope Francis comes to Armenia. He meets with Catholicos Karekin. There's an opportunity for us to understand something greater, to understand spirituality, to understand the power of Christ in our lives and in history. And then we put a little boat in front of him and we say, here is a symbol of salvation. Yeah, I think we missed the boat there. I really think we did. But we have to point out that, right? Now let's talk about communion. Something that kind of I did not understand is, did you see the mass in Gyumri? Thousands of people present for that mass, the papal mass. And then there's also hundreds of clergymen. Now, they were brought in from somewhere. And what's even more interesting is that communion was distributed to everyone there. And rightly so. Listen to me. This is where my confession is going to come out. I'm going to confess something. Yes, you are present at such a holy event, participate in that communion. But what didn't figure is that the two Catholicoi, as representatives, because in one moment they are people of the people. In another moment, they also are the top representatives of their church. And basically, the churches are not in communion. Yes, wake up call. We are not in communion. That means you cannot go into, if you're an Orthodox, you cannot go into a Catholic church. If you're Catholic, you cannot go into an Orthodox church and receive communion. But we do all the time. And so there's a practical side to it as well as an official side. Let's call it an official side. Now, later on, I'm going to point you to a podcast by our friend Harry Hagopian. He'll talk about some of these nuances. And he's got an interesting take on how we should understand it ecumenically. Maybe not push for that unity, but rather to celebrate the diversity. But I'm talking about what the Pope said. He said, it's too bad that we are not in communion. And having said this, he's now distributing to the children of the Armenian church, definitely in Gyumri, with the size of that congregation and knowing the reality of how many Roman Catholics are there. It's very obvious that it was given to beyond the Catholic congregation. Now, where's my confession? Well, back in the 1980s, when I was serving up in Cupertino, His Holiness, now Saint John Paul II, came to the Bay Area, the San Francisco Bay Area. And I was invited, along with the other Armenian clergymen, as well as the other Orthodox clergymen, to the papal mass, which was held at Candlestick Park, the home of the Giants. Yes, the San Francisco Giants. I think it has a different name now. But anyway, it was Candlestick Park at the time. And there we went to the papal mass, and I was sitting with my friend, Father Mesrob, of blessed memory. We were sitting together. Father Mesrob was the priest in Oakland, and we attended this mass, and I have to tell you, it was so moving. It was transforming. And then came the time for communion, and they invited people to come forward for communion. And of course, you were in the midst of all these Orthodox, Armenian Orthodox, as well as Greek, Russian Orthodox, and now we got up and we took communion. We got up and took communion. You know why? And I'll tell you why. The two of us were the only one. We just got up and got. And later we talked about this. After experiencing such an emotional and transforming experience, how could we not take communion? How could we not participate in the body and blood of Christ? It would be akin to going to your grandma's house for a dinner, right? And she's made all this preparation, and you're moved by her presence and all the goodness that she has to offer, the love that she has to offer. And you know with what spirit she created that meal for you to participate. And then you put your hands together and you say, "I'm sorry, Grandma. Sorry, don't want to eat." "Well, why did you come over? Why are you there in the first place?" And I think that's an important question that we need to ask. It's a question that I ask. Okay, we're sitting there and you're seeing all these people and they're participating. Rightly so, just as I was moved. I imagine there was hundreds, thousands of people that were moved with the presence of His Holiness, the Pope. They wanted to participate. Nobody shunned them. Nobody said no to them. Why wouldn't I, as a priest, be able to get up and take it? Likewise, when you're sitting at the Divine Liturgy of His Holiness, the Catholicos, of all Armenians, why wouldn't you participate? Well, technically, it just takes, like we did, just get up and participate, right? That's the technical part. But because there are so many provisions, because there are so many boundaries that we have placed on ourselves, and the official capacity. Now, as I said, our friend Harry Hagopian has done a great piece for the Vatican, for Catholic Information Services, and we will have a link on today's show notes. Do listen to his podcast, and he goes into detail also on the Pope and his affinity to the Armenian people, coming from his Argentinian days. So do listen to it. It's interesting. But he makes an interesting point at the end of his podcast where he talks about this ecumenical goal of being one, of unity. Perhaps, he says, that shouldn't be the first thing that we jump at, rather to celebrate the diversity of the different traditions. And he also talks about a different understanding within the Middle East of the ecumenical movement, of ecumenical practices, and perhaps that word unity. So it's an interesting podcast. I really want to emphasize that you listen to that. Some new ideas, new flavors to ideas as well. So that comes our way too. But in the midst of all of this, I looked at Pope Francis coming to Armenia. It was exciting. It was inspirational. I have to tell you, I lost sleep over it too because of the time differences. My only way to peek in on it was to be attached to the live streams, and I have to thank everybody who did that beautiful live streaming. We had an opportunity to witness it throughout the world. It was very emotional too to see the Pope of Rome there. But we have to put it in perspective. The Pope of Rome, just as the Catholicos of the Armenians, are the messengers of Christ, and they come to point to the one who is great, to our salvation. They come to point to the one who gives us salvation, namely Jesus Christ. And if we miss that, we've basically fallen into the Peter trap, right? This transfiguration takes place. this bright light, the essence of God is revealed. The law and the prophets stand there, and we see the completion of the law and the prophets. And we say, do you want me to build a tent? So two popes, two Catholicoi, get together, bringing us to the time of Christ through Thaddeus and Peter, two brothers in Christ. Now they're successors, sitting across from one another, talking about issues of peace, talking about their commonality through Jesus Christ, and a wake-up call for all of us that everything we have is still with us. It comes to us from the time of Christ. And if we don't wake up, and if our senses aren't tuned to that, yes, that is the Peter trap. If we stand there and we talk about, oh, here's another person talking about genocide. Yay. Thank you, Pope. You remembered the genocide. We missed it. We missed the message. We missed the transfiguration. We missed the revelation. I have a bit more that I want to share with you, but I'm going to take a break right now. Let Susie make her message. I'll be back in just a couple moments.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
You know, when the Pope came to Armenia and afterwards, you've probably been following along on social media. If you haven't, you got to check it out. It's all kinds of people that are posting all kinds of stuff. Positive, negative, but the positives are really exciting, right? People pointing to the two Catholicoi meeting each other and kissing one another and holding hands and the picture of the Ark and Mount Ararat. Just really, really exciting stuff. And that is really exciting. But at some point, you got to bridge that, right? You got to remember that the Pope is an agent of the Church, and basically, he believes in the Holy Eucharist. And every day of his life, he participates in that Holy Eucharist, whether he celebrates the liturgy or he is a participant. In other words, he believes in the sanctity of the Church. And so all this hoopla that you got going and everybody thumbs up and yeah, this is great and everything, get to the basic bottom line of it, that he believes in something greater than that superstar status. And this is what today's show has been about. It's the wake-up call that we need. There is something greater. I mean, when you look at that whole story of Armenia, you realize that there is some supernatural force at work there. There's no other reason. It's not because of wars. It's not because of military strategy. And whether you believe in the supernatural or not, you've got to accept that you cannot explain in natural terms how this small group of people have survived. And so you have to appeal to the supernatural. And that's what Armadoxy is about. That's what we do here on The Next Step. We look at the essence. What is it all about? Well, there is something supernatural. That supernatural is found in the prayers. It's found in the soil. It's found in the churches, in the iconography. You look around and you see it, and then now you have an opportunity to connect. You may not disconnect because you're disenfranchised, or perhaps you're just searching. But this is a way that you connect. You get to the essence of what it's all about. And so, yeah, that's great that you like the Pope, and he was there. He came and he touched your land and everything. But the Pope is about something greater than himself. Okay? and we point to that greater. He pointed to it, and it behooves each and every one of us to point to it. And so when we thank you for your donations, when we thank you for being a partner in this ministry, it's thanking you for believing in something greater than yourself. And so we invite you to be a participant through your prayers, through your donations, to keep this ministry going. Listen, I'm going to be in the Seattle, Washington area in a couple weeks, on July 10th, I'm going to be celebrating the Divine Liturgy at the Holy Resurrection Armenian Church, Seattle, Washington. If you happen to be in the northeastern area of the United States, in the southwestern portion of Canada, please come down. I'd love to see you. I'd love to say hello to you, and do introduce yourself as somebody who heard about it on The Next Step. I would love to make your acquaintance, okay? We'll be celebrating the Divine Liturgy with a special message as well during the sermon. I take advantage also today to remember that this weekend happens to be the 240th anniversary of this dear country that I live in, the United States of America. So big shout out to this country. Yes, yes, I know you hear a lot of stuff, and I know we've got these two incredible candidates, incredible in the sense that I can't believe that there's only these two people in the whole world that can govern this state, and it's a possibility that one of them may be the president. And I know that's scary in itself, but still, it is a great union because there's an opportunity to perfect it in order to create a more perfect union. And even if that perfection is still just a dream, at least you have an opportunity to dream it and to work towards that dream. So happy birthday, America. With that, we're going to call it an end to today's show. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of the entire crew who today and this hot day is ready to get out, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for download at epostle.net, iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, or on your favorite podcatcher. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your broadcast out.